You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett back in the presenter's chair, and today I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by Gareth Topham. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Ben. I'm good. Nice to be here. Nice to have some racing.
We're going to start. The first order of the day is discussing yesterday's racing. Now we've taken care of that bit, let's move on. Sunday was a complete washout, or a complete blowout, I guess you would call it. Storm Ciara has caused a little bit of havoc and is continuing to do so. Today we have lost both Catterick and Lingfield. Tomorrow we've already lost Ayr, and Wednesday we've already lost Weatherby. But I gather that gives you a day off.
Yeah, I get a day off tomorrow. I was supposed to be at Ayr tomorrow, so yeah, I don't have to make the 4-hour trek. But you know, it's jump racing and it's a good time of year. It's the sort of time of year you really want to be going racing.
Yeah, it is a bit of that.
But I'm actually in Scotland later in the week, so and they were sort of a day on, a day off, so it does break up the travelling a little bit this week.
I'm going to say, yeah, that must be quite a trek. Monday's podcast is a fairly simple one. If you've joined us before, you'll know the situation. We unashamedly steal the Monday jury out of the Racing Post, and we pose those 6 questions to our pundit, and then, of course, we have a look ahead to Tuesday's racing. The bonus of Tuesday's racing is that the Punchestown card that we were meant to get at the weekend but fell foul to the weather has been very quickly rearranged for this Tuesday, so we still get, amongst others, the Grand National Trial Grade B race. That's due off at 4 o'clock tomorrow, and Gareth has picked a couple of races from Punchestown that we're going to chat about tomorrow, so that's a bit of a Brucey bonus. For reference, the Exeter card that also suffered yesterday has now been bumped forward a week, so it's now on Sunday the 16th. Full details to follow from Exeter once it all gets the go-ahead. So let's talk Monday jury. We start by talking about the Champion Chase. The Champion Chase is shaping up to be the race of the Cheltenham Festival. I'm going to throw in a little extra bit here. Do you agree with that statement? And if so, who wins?
Well, I think after Saturday, yes, I would agree, because we were all a little bit, I don't know, doubtful perhaps as to whether Altior, the current champ,
certainly had questions to answer.
He did have questions to answer, and the main question, I think, going into Saturday was the spark still there? And I think he proved it very much is.
Yeah.
Because to me, watching that race, it was just like the Altior of old. And I think his rider, Nico de Boinville, has come out and has said as much, but it certainly looked like the Altior of old. There was that little scary moment in between the last two fences where you thought, are the gears there? And then on the run in, he's like, of course they are. And away he went. And he beat some very, very good horses. Obviously, this year, unlike perhaps previous years, he's taking on some horses that are really up-and-coming improvers. Yeah. Your Defi de Soys, who's done, I hate the cliche, he's done nothing wrong, but he hasn't so far over fences. He's been really breathtaking so far this season with his win at Ascot and also at Sandown. Chacun Poursoir, who got back to winning ways at Leopardstown. Aplu Tard, who of course missed Leopardstown last week but has got form closely knit in with Chacun Poursoir. They look two very exciting horses. And I think between the four of them, I'd be surprised if anything else was to win this season's Champion Chase. But among those four, we've got, you know, four real players. And the latter three in the betting are there to give Altior something to think about. And unlike in previous seasons where Altior has been odds on and it's looked a bit of a formality, this time, no, it's going to be a bit more competitive. Given what happened on Saturday, I think I'd still side with Altior. I was really impressed with him on Saturday, and to me it proved that when he got beat at Ascot just prior to Christmas, it was more the trip than anything else. And he was against a horse that day who's a brilliant horse anyway, Siennaim, who I think we see this Saturday back at Ascot. But that was Siennaim's patch, you know, that they were his conditions. Right-handed Ascot, 2-5, everything spot on for Siennaim, whereas Altior was stepping into the unknown. You get Altior doing what he's done brilliantly for the last 4 or 5 seasons and he's unbeatable. So for me, I would be in the Altior camp, even though these three dangers are going to be present and there to give him something to think about.
that might just in the end show Altiora's true quality. If he can do it when it's easy, fine, but if he can also do it when it's competitive against really good competition, that's when we'll get the true test of Altiora's quality.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take his age into consideration as yes. well. I think he's 10 now,
possibly,
so he's certainly older than Defi, Desoy, Shaq and Poussoir and Aploutard, quite a bit older. So, but he is a bit of a one-off. He's proven that the last few seasons, and judging by what I saw on Saturday, I'd be in no reason to be thinking to go against him, despite what I've seen from the others so far this season. That for me on Saturday, that got me thinking Altiora is still the one to beat come the Queen Mother Champion Chase.
At time of recording, Altiora 2-1 favourite, Defi Desoy 9-4, Shaqan Poussoir 5-2, Aploutard 12s, everything else 14-1 and bigger. On to question two. Now all the major trials for the Gold Cup have been run, who is your idea of a winner?
Yeah, tricky one. The Gold Cup is definitely one of the more open races and open renewals, I think, for some time. I think we've been lacking a real staying star for a few seasons. Now, obviously, the Corto and Denman era hasn't repeated itself sort of in the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of these Irish horses have been beating one another. Album Photo is the exception to that. He's the current favourite. He's the reigning champ. But it was only a soft race that he was entitled to win at Tremor over the Christmas New Year period. He did it really well. And I think he's being kept until Cheltenham, until we next see him. Santini, he's a horse that sort of splits ideas, doesn't he? Divides opinion. He looked good, I thought, when he won at Cheltenham last time out. I think he's only had 6 races in his life, Santini. Which is some going to be sort of up there vying for favouritism for a Cheltenham Gold Cup, but he stays really well, he represents a top team, he jumps well, he's this sort of horse that just does enough, I think, and even though he has a slightly awkward looking head carriage at the end of his races, I think it's just more inexperience than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ungenuine, so I think he's a big player, and he's obviously the unknown quantity in this lineup. Delta Work, he keeps winning and beating the best horses yeah. that Ireland have got to offer, so he's a very solid player. He's got past Cheltenham Festival form as well. After the King George lost in translation, I think has now got questions to answer. Kenboy won the Irish Gold Cup at Punchestown last year, but since then has obviously been beaten a couple of times. Clander Zobo has now won 2 King Georges, but you know, he was not good enough to win this race last year. Has anything necessarily changed ahead of this year? I'd have my doubts. And then we're getting on to your presenting Percy's, who bombed out entirely in last year's Gold Cup. He's back to form the other day, but again found Delta Work too good. And then the past winner of this race, Native River, who
yeah.
I thought was fantastic again on Saturday. And again, it was a small field, one that he was easily able to dominate. But Native River just gallops and jumps. And the thing that you guarantee with Native River is a blinking good run for your money.
Yeah.
And at around about 12-1, you know, and again, what is a very open renewal, you know that this horse is just 100% genuine. He's going to give you everything he's got. He's done it for a few years running now. I think he'd be the each-way play. If you were to pin me down for a win bet, I'd be quite reluctant to give you one. I'd probably side with Santini because I think there is a little bit of untapped potential still there. And I think Nicky will have him absolutely spot on for the big
yeah.
day. But I think Native River each way is, you know, is a very, very fair play around about 12-1.
A number of the jury today do mention Native River, actually. Currently a 12-1 shot. Album Photos 4-1, Santini 9-2, Delta Work 6s, Lost in Translation 7s, Kenboy 9s, Clander Zobo 9s, Presenting Percy 10s, 12s for Native River, as we've mentioned, 25-1 bar. Next question. The champion hurdle looks wide open after last week's news. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, I think out of the 4 championship races at Cheltenham, this is the one I'm looking forward to the least.
Okay.
So I'm sort of glad it's out the way first. Because I think at the moment this is quite a, I won't say weak division, because that's putting down good horses, but
yeah.
it's, you know, there's no real standout at the moment. Obviously, we sadly lost last year's champion, Espoir Dallin, at a very young age.
Yeah.
You know, this time we've got Epatant, who's proved herself very good. And the females have got a good record in this race in recent years, you know, going back to your Annie Powers, horses like that. They've got a good record on the first day. Obviously, you have the mares race as well, which Benny Dadieu in this year's you know, festival, she could be going to the mares hurdle, or she could be coming here. She needs to be supplemented. She's around about 15-2. I think that price is factoring in The requirement of her being supplemented. If she's a confirmed runner, she'll be quite a bit shorter than that.
Okay.
Pentland Hills, I don't think he's bomb-proof by any means. Honeysuckle, I thought that was workmanlike the other day. It wouldn't surprise me if Honeysuckle went elsewhere and stepped up in trip, went to the Mayor's Hurdle, and they brought Benny Dadier back to contest this. And I think the winner would come from one of those. I'm probably going to see Fusil Rapples, who's a 20-1 chance with us here at Kelso later in the week, because okay. I think he's due to line up in the Moor Battle Hurdle, so we'll learn more about him there. He, of course, was behind Epitont in the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton on Boxing Day. But I think he was sent off joint favourite for that race, so he obviously was very disappointing. There was something amiss. He's better than that, and hopefully up in the borders we'll see that later this week. As for the others, I don't see them winning a champion hurdle. So, Epitont, yeah, she's solid enough, I suppose, on what she's done so far. She seems to be improving. Would I back her? No. I think Benny Dadier, the race revolves around her being supplemented for me.
Yeah.
And if she is, I would fancy her big time in this. I haven't mentioned Envoi Allen either. He's one of the big Irish hopes, and you know, he's risen up through the novice ranks and looked particularly impressive, but it might well be that one of the novice options is the way he goes as opposed to this. But the fact that he's, you know, fairly prominent, I know he's 14-1 in the betting with us here, but that only makes him joint fifth favourite. It just goes to show what an open year it is.
Very open. With regards to Benny Dadier then, for the uneducated of among us, when do you think we're going to start knowing? When are we going to start narrowing it down? When will we know if supplementation has taken place, for example?
I think the fact that, you know, there's obviously that supplementary fee to be paid, it will be made a big thing of. I'd imagine we will find out. I don't know when the deadline is necessarily, but I'd imagine we would find out the route that she's going to take, you know, a couple of weeks in advance. With a lot of these choices, they can be made very last minute. But given she's such a high-profile contender, and there is this supplementary fee, there must be conditions with that. She has to be supplemented by a certain date. I'd imagine we'd know a little more prior than what we usually would in these instances.
Would you hold off an anti-post bet until we know one way or the other?
Yeah, well, as the question, you know, sort of asks, most of the trials, you know, the trials for these races now have generally been run, so we sort of know where everyone is, you know, and we know what they're capable of. So it's purely down to connections, and let's face it, these connections in particular, they can be very, very difficult to try and read. So, you know, if you fancy a 15-2, you know, you pay your money, you take your chance. If she goes to this race, she will not be 15-2.
That kind of... The reason I ask that is because it kind of brings our next question into play. With Honeysuckle Mare's Hurdle bound, which race would you target with Benny Dadier? Would you then look to target, if I can put you in the boots of the connections, is that how you would play it?
Honeysuckle's obviously very good. She was workmanlike the other day, and she beat a couple of horses in the Irish Champion Hurdle, who I don't think are Cheltenham Champion Hurdle horses necessarily. I mean, Petit Mouchoir, who was placed, I think he's tried the Champion Hurdle a couple of times and has come up well short. And the other horse was racing in handicaps at places like Wexford not so long ago. He's obviously a big improver, Darver Star. I think Honeysuckle's very good, but I can see why the Mayor's Hurdle is an appealing option for her connections. So what would I do with Benny Dadier? I think it makes the Champion Hurdle a much better race for having Benny Dadier in it.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, Connections have obviously won the Champion Hurdle with Annie Power in the past. And they'll have bad memories of the Mayor's Hurdle with Benny Dadier after she fell at the last with the race at a Mercy last year. So I think there could be definitely an air of temptation to go for the Champion Hurdle. And if she was mine, I would certainly go Champion Hurdle bound with her. Obviously, that would be bringing her back in trip to 2 miles, but she hasn't looked devoid of speed to me so far.
Back to 2 miles for Benny Dadier. If any connections are listening, Gareth Topham told you what to do. That's what we're going to do. We're now going to make you connections of Shishkin and Chancery House. We're going to make you Nicky Henderson now. What would you do with them if you were Nicky Henderson?
They both ran last week. Shishkin won in good style at Huntingdon. A race he was probably entitled... Well, I say he was entitled to win. You know, he hadn't done, you know, masses before that. He looked very good, but the races that he'd raced in, you know, weren't massively high quality. But that was a very good performance at Huntingdon. I was really taken, though, with Chantry House the other day at Newbury. It's funny, because out of the two, Shishkin now has achieved more than Chantry House. I don't think we can have any doubt about that. What would I do with them... You know, they're obviously, they both look sort of supreme novice hurdle material. They've got two different owners. Does Nicky Henderson want two big guns? I mean, they potentially could be, what, first and... It won't be first and second favorite. I think Shishkin is one of the favorites for the Supreme, if not the outright favorite.
Do some scrolling. Supreme novices opening day. Shishkin 9-4.
9-4.
Charging House
11-1. You know, yeah, I probably run them both. They represent two different people. It's never ideal because there can only be one winner.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, but if Envoi Allen goes, Abracadabras, Asterion Forlange, you know, it's a good heat, and you know, you'd rather have you know, two throws at the bullseye as opposed to just the one, wouldn't you? So,
very true.
If I was Nicky Henderson, I'd probably go for the first race of the meeting with the pair of them. They both looked particularly speedy. They both jumped well. I know Shishkin did fall at Newbury a couple of outings ago, but I thought he was very slick at Huntingdon the other day. And he's obviously, they've both got experience of big fields as well. They just both look as though the Supreme is tailor-made for them. So, but I was impressed with Chantry House on the weekend. I think he's open to a lot of improvement. I particularly like the way he came back onto the bridle in an instant at some of those flights in the home straight. He looks to have a lot of speed about him. So, yeah, bigger prizes, he'd be the one out of the two that appeals. But that's another question altogether. I'd run them both in the Supreme.
Both in the Supreme. For the Supreme, Shishkin 9-4, Chantry House 11-1. Obviously, at this early stage, we have plenty of horses that have multiple options. So we do offer a market to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. Chantry House is 6-1. Shishkin is 7-4 in that market. We're on to the final question of the Monday jury. Give us a horse you're looking forward to seeing run between now and the festival. Maybe one that you're planning on being in attendance at, or just one that you want to see an extra piece of work from.
Yeah, whether he's going to go to Cheltenham all depends on Thursday and
okay.
What happens a couple of weeks after that. But there's a horse from a stable that I used to have a share in a horse with, a horse called See You at Midnight, and he is running at Kelso in the Hunter's Chase there on Thursday.
Okay.
He's been brought back out of retirement, and he's just generally a very, very classy staying chaser. He didn't quite see out the Grand National the last time he was seen out. That was a 2018, I think. It was a couple of years ago. As I say, he's been retired, but they're bringing him back. He has to qualify for the Cheltenham Fox Hunters. In order to do that, he has to win on Thursday, and he then has to run in a point-to-point, I think 2 weeks later, I think the 23rd of February they're looking at Corbridge, and he has to win that as well. Otherwise, he won't qualify to run at Cheltenham. You're also asking a horse that's been retired and that is quite delicate, hence why he got prematurely retired in the first place. He's been showing great signs at home. You're then asking a horse to run in 3 3-mile chases in the space of a month, and obviously win them all. So
that's a lot of work.
It's a big ask, but as I say, he's a real class act. See You at Midnight. He was a very good staying hurdler. He's been a tremendous staying chaser for a, you know, relatively small stable. And if he wins on Thursday, there will be no more popular winner on what's going to be an excellent card up at Kelso. You know, he's trained locally to the track. And the dream for the team is that he goes to the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham on the Friday. So he's 33-1 with us at the moment. Obviously, you're factoring in again his participation, you know, in that he has to win on Thursday, and he has to do the same at Corbridge a couple of weeks after that. So, you know, there's plenty of, but again, it's a market, it's a race that looks particularly wide open, particularly given that last week at Wetherby, Hazel Hill, the current reigning champion,
yep, he didn't, and 5-1 favourite,
yeah, got beaten by the horse who's currently second favourite, Manella Rocco. But that was quite concerning, that performance, I thought, from Hazel Hill. The jumping was alarming, and he can't do that next month and repeat the wins. So, yeah, it looks a good Fox Hunters. It looks open, but See You at Midnight at 33s. I'm keeping everything crossed. All goes well for the team on Thursday.
Love that. That was the Monday jury. Thank you very much, Gareth. Let's talk about Punchestown on Tuesday then. This is the rearranged card from the weekend that was completely blown away. We've got a couple of races to look at. We're starting with the 150. 2 miles. It's a novice hurdle listed race. And we currently have 6 runners scheduled to go to post. Favourite is Cedarwood Road at 7-4. Front View is 9-4. Beacon Edge 4-1. It's then 10-1 for both Cavalry Master and Fighter Allen. and Grange Clare Native is a 16-1 shot. Just the six to choose from then. Which one, which two, which five or six would you like to mention?
I quite like Front View,
okay.
Number four on the card. He's 9-4 with us here. I just like his profile. He's trained by a genius in Joseph O'Brien. And his form where he chased home Envoi Allen, a horse that we've already spoken about on today's podcast. It looks very good. He was never going to endanger Envoi Allen back in November at Down Royal. He was beaten 6.5 lengths by him. But the third place horse in that race, in Tukas, came out and won at Nace on Saturday and won well. He actually represents the same stable. I think Front View is a horse who's open to plenty of improvement. I think it's interesting that they've now decided to go for a listed race. Following on from that Down Royal race, Front View then went to Cork and won in good style there. And he's been kept off since, but there's one or two in this race which are going to be relatively fresh. Beacon Edge has been off the track for 118 days. Front View himself, 86. Fighter Allen, who's a bigger price, has been off for the best part of 9 months. So it's yeah, it's an interesting race. Cedarwood Road, off the back of a win last time out, is probably going to start favourite. Representing the Geroida Lachlan stable, he's got Davy Russell booked for the ride, but I just think he comes up against, you know, one or two very smart horses here. It was a good effort at Leopardstown last time out to win in that big field, but this is going to be a completely different type of race. There's only six in it, and it's probably going to be run at a different sort of gallop. It's going to put you know, quickening requirements in different places of the race. I just think Front View at the moment looks perhaps a little better equipped for that. So he's a slightly bigger price, as I say. 6.5 lengths behind Envoi Allen. That reads well in my book. So Front View it'll be for me.
Front View, 9-4. Second favourite. Cedarwood Road is the favourite at 7-4. We're going to skip forward an hour and 10 minutes. We're going to talk about the 3 o'clock at Punchestown. This is 3 miles, and this is a handicap hurdle. 4-year-olds, 80-109. Chosen Hour is 4-1. Mick the Jiver, 7-2. Ask Mary, 5-1. Ask Corey, 6-1. Marshalled is also sixes. Farina, 10. Sassy Yet Classy, 10-1. 11-1 for Moscow So What. 12-1 for Castle. Billingham Need for Gold is 12-1. 18-1 Tricky Tricks, and 22-1 and Bigger, the remaining five. We've got 16 of them here. And if I'm not mistaken, this is going to be one of our extra place races on Tuesday. We're paying five places instead of four here. So whilst you're more than welcome to give us a winning selection, if you can find one at a bigger price for a place bet as well, that's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, you're probably going to need five places in this, particularly with the horse I'm giving you. Now, I've been following this horse for a little while. I saw him up at Ayr. This was earlier on in the season. He ran a really good race. He's generally a chaser.
Okay.
Ask Corey,
okay,
is the one I quite like. Just be careful, because there is Ask Mary in the field as well. And they have got form, these two. Yeah, it was back in October. I saw this horse chase home a real decent northern handicapper called Norton Thorpe Legend.
Okay.
And I've just sort of kept my eye on him since. And he usually races in quite big fields, over fences, in bottomless ground in Ireland. He's not the quickest, but he does keep going. And last time out, he was not beaten far in an all-ask finish. As a commentator, I was glad I wasn't calling this race, because Ask and Answer won it. Ask Mary was second, and Ask Corey was third. That has just been an absolute nightmare.
A few people must have been on Forecast and Tricast there.
Absolutely. Someone had it right off, no doubt. And it's interesting now that both Ask Mary and Ask Corey leave the chasing scene behind and turn up at hurdling. Now, if you look back at a couple of Ask Corey's races, he can thump the odd fence. So I'm not surprised with him that they're bringing him back to jump the smaller obstacles. It's a wide open race. He's got a good young rider on board in Adam Short, who takes off 3 pounds. He's down towards the bottom of the weights. He'll handle conditions. As I say, he was meant to run, I think, all the runners. This card has just basically been
picked
moved
up and moved across. Yeah.
But he was actually my nap on the day this meeting was originally.
Sunday.
Yeah. So, you know, he might well be tomorrow as well, just for a bit of an each way poke in an open race. Ask Corey. He's been a little bit costly to follow from a win perspective so far, but, you know, he does keep running his race, and I think he will pop up at some point. So back over hurdles, I think he's interesting. Ask Corey in the 3 o'clock at Punchestown.
Does the fact that Ask Mary beat Ask Corey into third last time out, second and third respectively behind Ask and Answer, does that explain the difference in odds here? Does that explain why Ask Mary is 5-1 and Corey is 6-1?
They're obviously on that run last time, they're quite closely matched, but what I would say is that ask Mary, consistency is not her strong point. If you look at her form figures, she does struggle to put a couple of really good runs together. Yeah. Whereas Ask Corey can. And for that reason, yeah, obviously there was, you know, a little bit of ground between them the last time they met. But there's only a, you know, small discrepancy in the prices here. I'd just rather side with Ask Corey. I think he'll run his race. And I think he'll actually be better suited by coming back to hurdles. Because, as okay. I say, his jumping in the past has cost him a few lengths.
There we go. Ask Corey, currently a 6-1 shot for Gareth. Gareth, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Racing Podcast today.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.